Our scripture for today comes from Psalm 130. Listen to these words. Out of the depths, I cry to you, Lord. Lord, hear my voice. Let your ears be attentive to my cry for mercy. If you, Lord, kept a record of sins, Lord, who could stand? But with you, there is forgiveness, so that we can, with reverence, serve you. I wait for the Lord. My whole being waits. And in his word, I put my hope. I wait for the Lord more than the watchmen wait for the morning. More than the watchmen wait for the morning. Israel, put your hope in the Lord. For with the Lord is unfailing love. And with him is full redemption. He himself will redeem Israel from all their sins. For me, there's something about the Psalms that always helps me. There's something about the Psalms that open up a part of me that probably would not happen without the book of Psalms. One of the things I really enjoy about the book of Psalms is that every human emotion can be found in the book of Psalms. The good, the bad, the in-between. It can all be found there. And if you're like me, sometimes you're not quite sure what words to use when you pray. But opening the book of Psalms and spending some time there will oftentimes give you a vocabulary on how to say things. By using other people's example through many, many years. I love the way that this one starts. Because it starts with talking about out of the depths, out of the very deep places in my life, I cry to you, Lord. From the depths of our lives, we should call out to God. One thing I've learned in 25 years of ministry is that oftentimes when somebody comes for counseling or comes for help, the very first things they often share when they're talking about what help they need are things that are kind of on the surface. This, that, and the other, little small insignificant things is often what people bring when they first come. I was taught by my pastoral care counselor that one of the reasons that people do that is they want to see how you manage those first. Before they open up and talk about what the real need is, they want to share the simple things, one, because they're easy to share and they feel comfortable sharing them. But I want to let you know that you need to get to the deep things. That's where the hurt and the pain is. That's where the brokenness is. That's where we need the most help. And as I, through the years, as I've heard people pray, oftentimes, what do they pray? They pray a lot of surface things. God this and God that and God this. And sometimes, only when they get to the deepest place in life will they completely open up. And will they share the very deepest things of life. Now, I want to admit to you that that can be difficult. As a minister, I can remember one time that I shared with another minister and a trusted friend here's where I am right now. And here's the depths of my heart, and here's what's going on for me. Thank God they didn't belay any confidences to anybody else. But because they found where the depths of my life were, they shunned me. And they backed up from me. And they wouldn't interact with me. Because I talked about the very deep struggles of my life. And I didn't expect that. I did not expect that at all. I felt that these were two people that I could open my life to and I could say, here out of the depths of my life, this is where I am. And this is what's bugging me. This is what's hurting me. This is what's broken in my life. You know what I'm thankful for? I'm thankful that from the depths of my life, I can come to God and just cry. And I can just open my heart fully, completely, and I can say, God, right here is what hurts the most right now. And I am so thankful that God doesn't shun me when I do that. God says, son, come here. Let's talk about this. Let's really dig into this some. And let's see where the hurt and the pain is, and let's see how we can fix it. That is absolutely wonderful. The God of all creation, over 150 billion galaxies, is willing to come and walk with me when I feel lower than a snake's belly in a wagon rut. Think about that for a minute. When I feel that low, God says, share it with me. Open your heart totally to me. Out of the depths of our lives, we should be calling to God. You will never be shunned. You will never be pushed away. God is never going to reveal to somebody else how deep your hurt is. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that powerful? That I can come to God and say, God, this is where it hurts. You see, we can have a relationship with God because God forgives and does not keep a record of sins. Wow. Did you hear what I said? We can have a relationship with God because God forgives and does not keep a record of sins. Listen to verses 3 and 4 again. If you, Lord, kept a record of sins, Lord, who could stand? But with you there is forgiveness so that we can, with reverence, serve you. You mean God forgives me? When I open my heart from the very deepest of places and say, God, this is where it hurts. This is where I've failed. And God says, child, I forgive you. And I want a very close, personal relationship with you. Wow. I mean, think about that. God says, I forgive. And the psalmist says, you don't even keep a record. Wow. I have so many people ask me so many times, Pastor, when we get to heaven, are we going to be judged? Yes, is the answer. That's what Scripture says. Yes. But you know what? God forgives. God forgives. And I've come to learn in the past year that the reason people ask that question is because they have hurts and pains and brokenness, and they know that they have sinned. Is God going to judge me? Yes. But God also forgave you when you believed in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. God says, I forgive. 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and righteous to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. 1 John 1:9. I would strongly encourage you to memorize that verse. Why? Because Satan's going to remind you that you're not forgiven. Every day, amen, brother. Every day, Satan is going to say, you're not worthy of having a relationship with God. Satan, let me tell you what Scripture says. It says, if I confess my sins, if I cry out from the depths of my heart, if I believe in Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, I am forgiven. Is that not powerful? As we walk in this relationship with God, we should be longing for so much more with the Lord. Just as a night worker waits for the sunrise. I don't know how many of you have ever worked third shift. But when you work third shift, you know when the sun comes up, you get to go home. When the sun comes up, you know your work day's over. You don't have to watch anymore. You don't have to be busy anymore. You can go home and relax. During part of my life, I worked as a quality assurance inspector on Navy contracts. And there was a period of time that they put me on third shift by myself to be there, to be available for anybody who needed an inspection in the middle of the night. First off, you might want to ask, why did they schedule the inspection for the middle of the night? It may be because there's a little bit something questionable. And they're hoping the guy on night shift's a little bit kind of tired and not paying attention. The ship was in dry dock, and oftentimes I would get up and just walk around the dry dock underneath the ship to try to stay awake, to wait for that sunrise to come for better things. I couldn't wait to get off third shift. By the way, I love second shift. That's what fits me the best, second shift. But third shift, by yourself, waiting to find out if something needs to happen, and just being there to be available. Look at what the psalmist says. I wait for the Lord. My whole being waits. And in His word, I put my hope. I wait for the Lord more than the watchmen wait for the morning. And in case you didn't catch it, the psalmist wrote it twice. More than the watchmen wait for the morning. Is that the longing you have for your relationship with God? Are you longing for your relationship to be that deep, that powerful, that wonderful? Are you longing for that relationship to grow far and wide and deep? Because I'm going to tell you this, God has so much planned for you if you will follow Jesus Christ. So much. I still remember one of my friends from high school who came and visited with me one day and said, How did you become a minister? You see, my friend from high school knew me. And he knew that I was the farthest thing from what a minister should be at one point in my life. And he knew that I had struggles and pains, and he knew that I had walked the wrong way at times. And he couldn't believe you became a minister? The other funny question he asked me that day that I'll just share with you. I had a full beard at that time. And he said, "How did you change your hair from up here to down here?" Because he knew me with long blonde hair. Curly as all get out. It was unmanageable hair. That's why I cut it short. I so much love wash and wear hairdos nowadays. Amen. Amen, brother. Ain't that? Are you longing? Are you longing for a deeper relationship with God? Are you longing for what God can do in and through you? God has so much more planned for your life. I never expected to be a minister. Never. Matter of fact, I think my family still can't believe it. And I've been doing it for 25 years and they still can't believe it. One of the things that I know about walking a relationship with God and opening my heart to God and knowing that forgiveness of God and longing for that to grow ever deeper is that sinking deeply in God's Word brings great fulfillment. Sinking deeply in God's Word brings great fulfillment. If somebody else were to pick up your Bible, would they know you use it? Would they be able to tell? Or would it look unused? I know what the tendency is. The tendency is you use one, then you go get another one because the other one's in such bad shape, I hope. And you go get another one that you start using, and when that one gets them, then you get another one, and you might say, "Well, you know, Pastor, mine looks pretty pristine right now. I just bought this new." And then I thought about, in my case, could you pick up my Bible and tell that I used it a lot? I don't use every day a physical Bible. I use an electronic version. But as I've been looking at it here lately, thinking about this, the incredible number of notes that I have typed into it overwhelms me. Since I've been here, every one of my sermon notes is in my Bible. Every one of them. And I use a little symbol in my Bible that looks like a pulpit to remind me that that's my sermon notes. One, so that you don't get the same section of Scripture from me over and over and over again. That I continue to keep picking different Scriptures to bring to you, to show you what I'm trying to tell you about discipleship and living with the Lord. And here lately, I'm amazed at how many little pulpits are in my Bible. And sometimes I stop and look at them and go, "Yep, I need to know that today." How about you? Would people be able to tell that you use your Bible? Are you sinking deeply into the very Word of God that has been preserved through thousands of years so that you could have it in your hand? Do you realize until Gutenberg that people could not have the Bible in their hand? 1500s. And even then, a lot of people didn't have it because they couldn't read. I continue to study about the 15 and 1600s. I don't know why my interest keeps being drawn to there, both in Spain and in England. And to realize in the 1500s, the government was trying to keep scriptures out of English and the pastors so that people couldn't have it in their hand and interpret it for themselves. They wanted to tell them what was in the scriptures. This is what the scriptures say, and this is what you're supposed to be doing. I think every one of us should have the scriptures in our hand in a way that we will use it. Whether it's as a book, whether it's electronic, however you might use it. My same Bible that I use on my tablet is on my phone. And all of my notes are there. Wonderful software that syncs it back and forth so that if I type in one place, it's in the other place. I know some of you are going to say, well, what happens if your phone goes dead and your tablet go dead? I get another phone and I sync it again and I got all my notes again. I don't lose my notes when I lose my phone. But are you sinking deep into God's Word? One of the things I know as pastor is that there is so much biblical illiteracy in our world. It is rampant. It is tremendous. There is so much that people don't know about the Bible. How do I know about the Bible? I've been reading it almost daily for 25 years. I've been sinking deep into it and thinking about what does that really mean? I've been doing what Mary did after the angel spoke to her. You know what Mary did after the angel spoke to her? It says that Mary pondered every word that the angel said to her. Pondered. That means to chew over and over again. That means to think about it, to try to understand it, to ask God to open it up to you even further. We should be some pondering folks. Why is all this important? The Lord is unfailing love to us and full redemption for us. Listen to that. Unfailing love and full redemption. Full and complete. Full doesn't mean except for this piece. Full redemption. Unfailing love. God says, I don't care how much you hurt. I don't care where you have fallen and where you have failed. I love you. And I want to redeem you. I love you and I want to redeem you. God says to us time and time and time again. Does my heart hurt? I want to be honest with you today, yes. My heart hurts, and I struggle. I so wish that 25 years of studying the Bible would solve all that, but it doesn't. But sinking deep within God's Word and coming to God and opening my heart fully, oh my goodness, the blessings I have experienced in the past 25 years. We don't have the time for me to share those with you. There's just not enough time. All the things that I've seen God do in the midst of my life, time and time and time again, because I'm willing to open up and say, God, here I am. I'm crying out to you, and my heart hurts. My heart hurts. My heart hurts because of this pandemic. I'm so tired of dealing with it. I'm so tired of trying to make the right decision. I'm so tired of some of my failures in my walk with God. My heart hurts. If you were to take my journal, you would see that. Because I've written that in my prayers to God over and over again. My heart hurts, Lord. There's something about this psalm this week that has sunk so deeply within me. But then I find such great and wonderful things right in the midst of it. What does it say? God doesn't keep a record of my sins. What does it say? The Word of God will be what refreshes me and renews me and helps me. What does it say? It says that I should be longing for a relationship with God that goes deeper and deeper and deeper. What does it say? It says that God is unfailing love. Remember I told you that I shared where my heart hurt at one point in time with a minister and another friend, and they shunned me? God won't do that to you. Because God is unfailing love. And He says, child, come here. Open your heart. Peel back the layers. Let me touch where it hurts. Let me love on you. Just stand still for a moment, God says, and let me love on you. Unfailing love. And then it's absolutely incredible. Full redemption. Full. Complete. Wow. What a relief that is when I look back on my life. God says full redemption. Not just this piece or that piece. Complete. Total. I want to ask you, are you willing to make longing for and crying out to God the center of your life? Are you willing to make longing for and crying out to God the very center of your life? I'll just give you a quick word of testimony. You will never regret if you do. You will never regret if you do. Never. It should be very comforting to you that you can let go with God. And God says, I love you so deeply. I forgive you so much of everything. And I redeem you. I know some of you might say, Pastor, I've already done that in my life. And God has saved me. Peel one back one more layer and do it again. Peel back one more layer and do it again. And just say, God, here I am. I'm crying out to you again today. Out of the depths, I cry to you, Lord. Lord, hear my voice. Let your ears be attentive to my cry for mercy. If you, Lord, kept a record of sins, Lord, who could stand? But with you, there is forgiveness so that we can with reverence serve you. I wait for the Lord. My whole being waits, and in His word I put my hope. I wait for the Lord. More than the watchmen wait for the morning, more than the watchmen wait for the morning, Israel, put your hope in the Lord. For with the Lord is unfailing love, and with Him is full redemption. God Himself will redeem Israel from all their sins. Are you willing to make that kind of longing and that crying out to God the very center of your life? Let's pray. Lord, we have no idea who recorded these words and who decided that they needed to be added to your scriptures. We know, Lord, that you were in control of that. And we know that as someone wrote this very prayer to you, that we can use it again today. It may have been written thousands of years ago, but wow, the power in it, the depth in it. Lord, may we be those kind of people who long so much and who cry out so much. That we might know in an incredible way your unfailing love and your full redemption. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.